I'm Hannah, compulsory overeater. I'm like crazy nervous, so bear with me. This is actually my first OA share, and my first reaction upon being asked or putting myself forward is like, I don't have a good enough message. I'm not abstinent long enough. And actually, that's just my head. Like the reality is, like I was 6 months abstinent on the 5th of July, and that's the longest I've been abstinent. And my life's completely changed through this program. And therefore, I have a message, even if I was abstinent just for today. And the message for me, yeah, the heart of it is like, it works if you work it. I think I've heard it said, this program doesn't work just because you need it or because you want it to. Like, it works if you work it. And that's been my experience. And just a little bit of history. So I was first introduced to OA when I was 21. So that was 25 years ago. And it's been a journey for me. It's been a journey of kind of rejecting it and being in and out of it. And if I look at my childhood, I look at photos of me as a kid and I'm overweight, but I had no awareness. I had no self-consciousness of that. I just knew I loved food and it was great. And I think it was only around when I moved to secondary school, so maybe like hitting puberty, that I started being self-conscious about it and dieting and trying to lose weight. And I was kind of successful at that at first. But more than anything, it was always the process. I was dieting with my mom and it felt like a bonding thing. And I didn't think I had an issue, and for me, drugs were a big part of my story. I'm 4 years clean in another fellowship. And they were the ones that were in my face, like, they're going to kill me. I'm getting traumatized. I'm in really dangerous situations. Later on in my life, I ended up in prison. I've been sectioned in and out of psych wards and stuff. And food was always just sort of in the background of that. And I definitely know that when I picked up something else, whether it's food, whether it was men, whatever it was, like, it kind of tempered the food and the uncontrollability of the food. And it was when I was 21, I was put in my third treatment center, and they worked OA. And so I went to my first OA meeting and I was put on a kitchen ban and I was like, there's been a mistake. Like, there is definitely a mistake here. I am not an overeater. But I started going to OA because I had to, like, it was part of a contract and I didn't think about getting a sponsor. I just kind of, I was very judgmental as well. Like, I didn't like this fellowship. I sort of looked around and I'd see people that were overweight and be like, everyone's just sitting here lying, like, this is ridiculous. And also, food's not going to kill me, like, can't I just have food? I've given up this, I've given up that. And I guess I sort of just bounced in and out of OA, like, throughout my 20s, and never even thought to do the steps or get a sponsor. And I'm bipolar as well, and with that, I was periodically put on really heavy medication and just saw that as a perfect excuse to just eat as much as I wanted because I was ill and there was nothing I could do about it. And I felt very deserving of being able to overeat. Like, I should be able to overeat. Like, why not? I'm not hurting anyone. And food for me was, it still is, like, it's home. And I think there's that thing of, like, it just stopped working so effectively. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to take a lot of drugs so that I could just eat. And, the best part of it was coming home and then just getting a spread of food. Like, I used to call it a bed picnic. That was like my happy place. And I'd kind of eat until I passed out and then I'd wake up and I'd eat whatever was squashed underneath me. And then the shame would start to kick in. And if I look back on my life, that's kind of the overriding thing, is this shame started to outweigh this peace I would get and comfort I would get from the food. And it started to be to the point where, like, I'd get shame before I even swallowed my first mouthful. And then it just got really painful. And I mean, I'm skipping out a lot, but there was a lot of lying and hiding and deceiving around food. And I felt embarrassed that I was acting out so much. You know, I'd go and buy a bag of junk food, but I'd buy two bags, hide one in my room, and then share one bag with everyone else in the house so that I looked really generous, knowing that I had like this supply of food. And I actually, when I went to prison, like my supply was cut off. So they had a canteen, so you could buy like a supply of food for the week and it would arrive. And every week I'd be like, I'm going to save this. I'm going to make it last for the whole week, and it'd be gone. And then I'd just be in a cell with no food, no. And that feeling of like, yeah, I don't know, it was really painful. So basically, fast forward to lockdown, I ran away to the middle of nowhere because I was depressed and anxious. And I just ate for 2 years, and I couldn't get out of the house. I'd have the takeaway dropped off at the door. And by the end of the 2 years, I couldn't get off the sofa. Like I had to roll, you know, I went up to over 18 stone, which is just like 260 pounds. Like I couldn't, my back was fucked. Like I was just waiting to die. And the food wasn't even comforting, but it was something, because it would enable me to kind of pass out and wake up and carry on eating. And I got diagnosed with early onset diabetes, and it didn't even occur to me that had something to do with what I was eating. Like it didn't even, it's like, oh, that's really weird, you know. And I've heard this thing of like, it's a displaced suicide. So like, I was just waiting for it to end. Like, and I just lost all hope. And I don't know where I'd have been if I hadn't have had the food, with no program. You know, I do see it as like it kept me alive. And yeah, and then I don't really know what happened. I just reached this sort of spiritual, emotional rock bottom. And I started going to OA online with my camera off. And I got a sponsor for the first time in my life. And I started working the steps. And I found it really difficult to stay abstinent, and I just kept relapsing. Like I'd get a few months and then I'd relapse. And I think the bottom point for me was I threw all my food out, you know, just consistently throw my food in the bin, pour fairy liquid over it, be like, no, no, no. And then I'd be fishing it out. And this time it was a Sunday and I live in the countryside, so everything's shut after four. And I'd thrown all my stuff in a bin yard, like not even in my kitchen bin, in a bin yard, in a soiled, disgusting, giant bin. And I found myself in the bin. I climbed into the bin and was eating this food that stank. Like, I mean, it was, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I know there's a solution. And I almost like laughed, because it was the first time I was like, it's not just me. I'm not just this kind of weirdo that's totally unfixable, that's doing all this crazy stuff around food. It's an illness, and it's going to take me to my knees. And like, it's not like there isn't a solution. There is a solution. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. Anyway, I found this meeting, I think like end of last year, and I just had a surrender that I've never had before. And, you know, for me, I used to hear people talk about weighing and measuring, and I was like, that's not freedom. That's rigidity, and I don't want that, and you know, whatever else. And I don't know what happened, but I just like, let me try it, you know. And I tried it, and for the first time in my life I tried letting my higher power take me through my recovery, rather than me sort of willfully wanting to do it to lose weight or to be happy or to whatever. It was just like, I'd just give up. Like, are you going to carry me if I put the footwork in? And that's what's happened, to be honest. Like, I never thought, I spent so many years in and out and trying and failing, and I never thought I'd get this. And I feel like just for today, like I've been given this freedom that I didn't even know was on offer here, and a connection with my higher power that is the most precious thing in my life. And I feel so grateful for, and, you know, it's not always easy, but like it's been a lot easier than I had previously experienced in terms of like, there's a really clear set of instructions, you know, step work, service, sponsor, sharing, and then all the tools of the program. I'm not saying I amazingly do them every day, but like I found what works.
Miss Turner.
Thanks. And yeah, I don't know, like I feel safe, and I share this quite a lot. Like I feel safe in my life. In I've got a home I've lived in for like 3 years, which is crazy for me. I feel safe in my head, and I feel safe around people because I've learned how to have boundaries. And, you know, it took me a while to start losing weight after I was abstinent. And I heard someone share, like, they didn't lose weight till they were doing their step 4 and 5. I was like, if I just hold on till then. And it's I've started to release like that weight, and you know, it's been a tug of war for me, right? Because I've had quite a lot of sexual trauma and whatever else. And for me, being overweight is safe because there's a point I get to where I'm invisible to men, and that for me was a kind of safety, and invisible to my dad, who's like toxic energy. And so losing the weight although it was what I wanted most, it's actually been really quite terrifying because I'm being seen a lot more, and just consistently being able to fall back onto my higher power and onto this program and know that as long as I don't abandon myself, I'm safe. No one has the power to rob me of anything today. And I think I just used to give my power to everything, to resentments, you know, to whatever. I'm okay if you do this, or you speak to me like this, or you love me, or whatever. And it's just like, actually, I'm okay full stop if I'm connected to my higher power and I'm abstinent, and that is beautiful. And it, the abstinence as well, that kind of 3 meals a day, has just given me this structure that I've always craved. You know, I used to be like, oh, fuck this, I don't want a routine, I don't want to. Structure, discipline was like a horrendous word to me. And it's what's enabled me to grow. And that thing of like, I get to have a life in between my meals. And to the point now where it's like, I get to have a life all day. You know, like I get to sit down with my higher power 3 times a day. And share food. I don't know, it's like a really beautiful thing. And I am, I keep repeating that freedom thing. Like I've never experienced the freedom that I experienced today. And it's almost counterintuitive because it's like, right, I've got to have these 3 meals and they've got to be weighed and measured and da-da-da. And it's like, that's what gives me the foundations upon which to live my life. And I just went away for the weekend for like 4 days. I went camping, and I've never been so prepared in my life. Like I literally batch cooked all my food for 4 days, which is crazy in my head. But it felt really loving rather than controlling, you know, and I was able to have that flexibility to sort of, if we all went out for food, like I could kind of change that to the, at the time. And I, the way I see it now is like, I love myself enough today because of the steps that I'm doing that I want to look after myself, and I want to make sure I'm fed and present. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is like, if I'm not abstinent, I can't even be there. You could be telling, I heard someone say, like, you could be telling me, like, your dad's just died, and all I'm thinking about is what I'm going to eat next and how I can get to the food. And I'm like, yeah, and it's just all consuming. And I think there was a lot of shame because my primary drug of choice is food and not crack or whatever, you know. And it's like, how can that have so much power? But it's the wound in me is filled by, it can be anything. Like I used to say, yes, I'm in NA and I'm a drug addict and alcohol and food, fine, but like I don't really get this gambling stuff, like that's not me, you know. And then last year I find myself throwing money on the stock exchange, which I don't even know, you know. I'm like YouTubing videos of like how to play the Forex, and I'm like, oh yeah, but it's not gambling because I'm not sitting in Ladbrokes, you know, on a slot machine.
Knowledge,
thank you. Like it's all that kind of, I'm special and different, you don't understand, like I'm not as bad as you are, I'm like 1,000 times worse than you. And yeah, today I don't think it really matters, and I think the step work I'm doing in this program is deeper than any step work I've done before. And I get to, it sounds corny, but like I get to meet myself every day, and I get to meet myself through the step work, and I get to share my deepest, darkest shame with my sponsor and have her sit there and still love me. Like she hasn't run away, you know, she's still here, and she's like, I care about you, I love you. And it's like, that lets me love myself more. I don't know if that makes sense, but like one of my sponsors said to me once, like, it's actually a gift that you've got an eating disorder, because your higher power has to be so big. Like it has to be with you at least 3 times a day. It has to be in every area of your life. And that I'm learning now to see that as a gift. And it's like, you know, the promises of like, we don't regret the past or wish to shut the door on the future. Like I, not every day, but most days, I'm actually really great. I used to hate people that said this, but I am actually really grateful. I'm a compulsive reader, because the gifts I get in return far outweigh that wound. And I feel so blessed for this fellowship. Like I can't even imagine what, if there wasn't a solution. Yeah, and I guess like the biggest thing this program, the 12 steps are teaching me, this kind of spiritual journey, is like I get to learn what humility means and to strive for that every day. And that for me is living my best life. Yeah, so I feel really blessed. And for anyone out there who's struggling and who's given up hope, like, I think it's in God's time, you know. Like my higher power never left, I kept leaving it. And if I can choose to be with my higher power every day, like I don't see how I can go wrong. But this program gives me a higher power. It enables me to access my higher power. And the dreams I had for myself and my life that I was too ashamed to even say out loud a few years ago are starting to manifest. And I can now, you know, I'm so excited for my life. It's crazy. And yeah, like I went through some stuff a few days ago, like really kind of trauma coming up. And it didn't even occur to me to overeat. You know, I spoke to my sponsor and she was like, you know, how's the food? And I'm like, hasn't even crossed my mind. Like it just isn't even, and I'm not saying that's always and forever, but that is beautiful. And when I face rejection, which I did from a man, right, which is like my worst fucking nightmare ever, I didn't even have a thought, oh, it's because you're fat. Didn't even come into my head. And that blows my mind. Like that really blows my mind. And yeah. I get to be the person I was born to be today. I know that. But yeah, I don't know what else to say, really. Like I picked and choose bits of this program and wondered why it wasn't working for me. And yeah, It works if you work it. So I am a very, very grateful customer of Overeaters Anonymous. And I just want to say thank you to everyone on this meeting, because you've, made my recovery what it is today. So I think I'll leave it there.